From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. By the year 2015, passenger rail service is expected to resume between Iowa City and Chicago for the first time since the 1970s. This hour, we'll discuss the federal government's decision to spend $230 million on a new Amtrak line connecting Chicago to the Quad Cities and Iowa City, what it means for travel, and the potential for economic development. It will be called the Green Line and provide two daily round trips and carry trains traveling at speeds up to 79 miles per hour. We'll also talk about the push for passenger rail expansion throughout the Midwest. Our discussion leaves the station right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last week, Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood came to Iowa City. He was joined by Governor Chet Culver, Senator Tom Harkin, and others in an event that celebrated the receipt of $230 million in federal funding to initiate intercity passenger rail service on a route from Chicago to Iowa City via the Quad Cities. The new Green Line, as it is, will be called, with service to commence in 2015, will provide two daily round trips and carry trains traveling at speeds up to 79 miles per hour. The approximately 220-mile route from the Windy City to Iowa City is expected to take less than 5 hours. The Federal Railroad Administration grant to Iowa and Illinois transportation agencies was part of the $2.4 billion awarded for 54 high-speed rail projects in 23 states. So this hour, we want to explore many facets of the newly announced passenger rail service, what it means for travel and could mean for economic development. We also want to place this in the larger context of the push for passenger rail expansion throughout the Midwest and the country. We want you to join our conversation. Will you ride the new Amtrak passenger rail line? Do you ride Amtrak in Iowa currently? Tell us your story, 1-866-780-9100. Also, your questions about how it will affect travel and the economy in this area, 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us for the first half hour, Rebecca Needs, Vice President and Director of Public Policy in the Iowa City, from the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben. Good to be here.
And also joining us, Dave Swenson, Iowa State University economist. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Dave, we'll get you in just a moment. Dave, are you there? We'll start off with Rebecca, and hopefully a little bit later we'll have Dave join us. Rebecca, big week for you last week, the culmination of, I would guess, many years of work to draw this rail money to Iowa to connect Iowa City to Chicago.
Absolutely. We are really celebrating, and we're very proud that this has been one of our top initiatives with the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. We have been working on this for many years, and there were many before us working on this. With Elliot Keller from Z102.9, I know one of our local stations here, and we just have lots of rail advocates that have been working on this for years.
I had a few details about this rail line, so tell us some more. Fill in some of the blanks that I missed. What will this experience be like traveling on this rail line, Iowa City through the Quad Cities to Chicago?
Well, I'll tell you, we will have two round trips a day. The speed will be up to 79 miles an hour. This will accommodate University of Iowa students, and we have about 6,000 students a year that come from Illinois that attend the University of Iowa. We also have more than 2,000 international students that land in the United States or arrive and need transportation back to their schools. The Veterans Hospital, a VA hospital here in Iowa City, services Western Illinois. And, of course, we have lots of fans of Big Ten athletics that alumni and general fans that love to come over for our games. So we are looking at this really servicing and supporting our local economy and providing another mode of transportation to get here.
Getting these monies was a competitive process. This route did not receive funding first round, I understand. Why do you think this Iowa City route was chosen above so many others at this time?
I'll tell you, it really makes sense. You really want hub-to-hub routes, and Iowa City is well on its way to connecting Chicago to Omaha, Nebraska, via Des Moines. And so that's something that we were awarded, DOT was awarded $1 million back in January to look at that completing this route. This route, we have significant population centers along the way, and Moline is a perfect example between here and Chicago. So Amtrak runs a lot of short line routes. We think of them as being coast to coast, but many of their routes are people jumping on and off in neighboring cities. Mm-hmm. And so connecting Iowa City with Chicago is a smart move.
So let me throw in a little bit of a devil's advocate here, a little bit of criticism. It won't be the quickest way to get to the Windy City. We know this. Mm-hmm. When we say Iowa City, by car to Chicago is 3.5-4 hours.
Sure.
Something like that. It won't be the cheapest. There are buses that get you there cheaper. Perhaps your car is cheaper. So why would the estimated 250,000 passengers a year ride this rail? Financially make sense?
You know, that's a great question, because a lot of these figures we're looking at are not apple-to-apple comparisons. We have rail we're looking at up to 5 hours to get down to Union Station. When you fly that 50 to 60 minutes in the air, that's in the air. That doesn't count your trip to the airport parking, going through security. The same with buses. Buses often, you have to either be picked up on the other end, or you need to figure out transportation to the next mode to get you where you're going. Buses, air, often cars are all subsidized through transportation highway infrastructure dollars. Our roads are not free. And, of course, local and federal highways cost a lot of money.
And this won't be free either. We have the initial capital investment in the tracks.
That's right.
And as I understand, once it's up and running, the price that what will a passenger pay?
A passenger will pay around $37 one-way ticket.
Okay, $37 one-way from Iowa City all the way to Chicago. I understand that's roughly half. Passengers' tickets will pay roughly half the operating costs.
That's correct. And don't forget.
So it is a subsidy just like we have for roads and other means of transportation.
Absolutely. And I just want to make sure that we remember that. It's like other modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. And remember, when you're driving your car, you may be paying $35 for gas to get there, but you're also paying for parking once you're there. And so that's not cheap either.
Wear and tear on your tires,
that's
on
right.
your car. The oil change always has to be figured.
You don't want
in
me to list those, do you?
Rebecca Needs is with us, Vice President and Director of Public Policy at the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. Now joining us, Dave Swenson. We've hooked up with Iowa State University economist Dave Swenson. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon.
Let's have you take us through understanding how someone might approach the economic impact of such an investment. When you as an economist look at the potential economic impact of this project, where do you start?
Well, many people, because of the overweening preoccupation with job creation, they think in terms of the raw short-term economic impact or economic impact in terms of jobs that might be created as a consequence of just simply having a train or a train station in your state or in your area. But that's not how an economist generally would look at the value of adding this kind of a transportation option to the state. And the way government programmers analyze these things is they do what's called a benefit-cost analysis. And a benefit-cost analysis looks at the life of the investment over the life of all uses relative to some kind of alternative. And the determination is going to be that this type of investment is expected to generate benefits to society that exceed all of the costs, and that this is a good choice for us. This is a desired thing. And so the way they evaluate it is they think in terms of yours and my average daily welfare, and that this is going to introduce cost savings in terms of how we transact ourselves across space, either traveling from here to there. And it will increase travel opportunities and perhaps quality of life opportunities for people because it is a much mm-hmm. less expensive travel option.
When you mentioned quality of life, how does that fit into an economic analysis? It seems hard to quantify.
Oh, it is hard to quantify, but it is very straightforward. If I'm able because of there's access, if I'm able to travel to Chicago, Illinois, two or three times a year, but previously I was prevented because of cost reasons from going quite as often, that increases my quality of life because I desire to go to Chicago, Illinois. And we do measure those types of things. Having increased access to things that you desire is part of your quality of life. But there's more. We decrease wear and tear on our roadways. That's a straightforward substitute or a swap from using roadways to the railways, which are more efficient. And lastly, which I don't hear many people talking about, is the environmental gains, which we are learning how to quantify, but they're very straightforward. The amount of carbon associated with a human being traveling from Iowa City to Chicago in a train is much lower than if that person was riding in an automobile.
So at this point, can you give us any sort of summation of the potential economic impact that this passenger rail expansion could have in Iowa?
No, and nor do the people that have produced the research on this. They all they are able to come up with are very, very short-term economic impacts. The short-term economic impacts of doing the construction and the improvements on the rail bed, and the ongoing economic impact of just simply the operations of the train in Iowa City and the number of jobs that would be associated. It's a very small number, and they're really not economic impacts with regard to that, because what we're doing is we're substituting consumer purchases from something they used to do, ride in a car, mm-hmm. get on a bus, whatever, to this mode of transportation. We're simply shifting, not necessarily creating more economic activity. The hope is, though, is that because we have rail service that creates economic development opportunities for people and for firms who might be attracted to having access to rail and access, ready access to Chicago. That remains to be proven.
Okay, we want to reach out to our listeners, 1-866-780-9100. Will you ride the new Amtrak passenger line that's planned for 2015 between Iowa City and Chicago through the Quad Cities? Are you a rider of Amtrak? Tell us your stories. 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. IPR Talk is where you can find us. You can tweet us. And we have with us Rebecca Needs, Vice President and Director of the Public Policy at the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. Dave Swenson, Iowa State University economist, joining us by phone. Rebecca, before we go to phones, you had a quick comment?
I do. And that is, in talking to a lot of the business and community people in the Iowa City area, I was visiting with the manager of a manufacturing plant here, who travels back in Florida to Florida almost every weekend to visit family. He's recently moved here. And so he was telling me how he gets there. And he flies, of course. He drives to Chicago and flies out because that's the quickest for him to do. Mm-hmm. But one thing he said is that if he had a train, he would take it in a heartbeat because that is downtime in which he cannot work. He can't work on his computer. And so he would spend that extra time if it could be productive.
We have a Facebook comment from Crystal. She says, I'll ride it. Driving and parking in Chicago is a nightmare. I want to support train route expansion in the state. That from Crystal. Let's go to Edith in Windsor Heights. Further west than this rail line will initially be planned for. Edith, what are your thoughts?
I want it to come to Des Moines as soon as possible. For the last number of years, I've been driving once a month from Des Moines to northwestern Indiana to the Chicago metro area to help take care of my mother. And it's 750 miles round trip, and at 50 cents a mile, which is what the government says it costs us when you allow for wear and tear in the car, that's $375. Plus, it's a stressful drive. It's 6.5 hours each way, and it's rough driving, especially in the Chicago area, I would love to have the train.
Right. You can get pretty stressed out, not only in the Chicago area. On I-80, when it's congested, you are facing a wall of semis on your right if you're in the left lane, aren't you? That can be stressful. You're right, Edith.
And that's 6.5 hours. I mean, I could read, I could sleep, I could do paperwork. It would just be so much better.
Let's turn to Rebecca Needs and ask if she knows anything about if and when expansion comes to Des Moines, onto Omaha. How does that fit into this picture? Was that talked about in this?
Oh, absolutely. It's truly our next steps, and we're not giving up just because we've gotten it as far as the Iowa City area. As a matter of fact, it will be to the Quad Cities by 2013, Iowa City 2015, and we received $1 million to look at expansion westward. So we're doing that now, and Edith, make sure that you let your elected officials know, because they're really the ones that are going to weigh in and make this happen for you. But we haven't given up.
Andrea writes in Facebook, find Iowa Public Radio also on Facebook. She writes, I might ride it, but I never really went the direction of Chicago. I would think more local train service would be more useful, like between Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, and Des Moines. Was that discussed?
We've looked at Iowa City to Cedar Rapids for years, and one of the problems is right now is the infrastructure downtown Cedar Rapids in the flood recovery, and there's also a plant down there that really makes that difficult. It's also very challenging to get people out of their cars for a half an hour trip if it's not high speed. So we're looking at certainly Iowa City through Coralville, North Liberty, and up to the airport, but this portion needs to be done first.
The Des Moines Register had a large article about this today and several criticisms in that article of this expansion of rail. I wanted to put these to Rebecca and Dave here, have you respond. Randall O'Toole, a public policy analyst, quoted in this article, the author of a study last year titled Why Iowa Should Not Build High-Speed Rail for the Public Institute at Iowa Wesleyan College in Mount Pleasant. He says, quote, high-speed rail is slower than flying and less convenient than driving. All it will do is drag down our economy because of all the subsidies it will cost to build it, operate it, and maintain it. Rebecca, your reaction there.
You know, my reaction is we need to compare apples to apples. And so we're not looking, that's what he's saying, is we're not looking at the cost of the subsidy for highways and all the wear and tear on our vehicles and the time spent. It certainly is a little quicker to drive, but you have a lot of stress and hassles that go along with driving.
Dave Swenson, as an economist, your reaction to that quote?
Well, I completely disagree with it. I think that that was a very decidedly short-sighted view, and the source of it, the source of the study, not so much Dakota Wesleyan, but Randall O'Toole, is a noted and nationally well-known person who is against all forms of public planning and all forms of mass transit. So if you need to take that kind of criticism with a grain of salt and not go too far with it. I thought that the article that we saw today really dealt with some of the more superficial aspects of that. The overall idea of developing rail capacity to one place or another, generally speaking, produces social efficiencies. Even if we end up subsidizing them, the argument tends to be that we accumulate enough benefits that it's well worth society's while to have these kinds of efficiencies in our system. They break down as populations become less dense. And so as you move farther west, as population distances grow, then you start to worry that these types of rail extensions might not ultimately pay for themselves or create too great of a subsidy. But But to the extent that they're efficient and nearby and desired, and that you can do a decent benefit-cost analysis. I know somebody, you argued that we need our politicians behind this, but we also need our statisticians and our economists behind this. We need to demonstrate that these things are worthwhile and useful to society, or you end up becoming a victim to critics like that who say, oh, this is just one more government boondoggle.
By 2015, passenger rail service expected to resume between Iowa City and Chicago for the first time since the 1970s. You can respond to this 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Let's go to John, who is in Iowa City. You happy about this, John?
I think it's great. I've ridden Amtrak a lot in my life, and it's just a wonderful way to travel. I think as the last caller said, you can read, you can sleep, you can work on your computer. You arrive well rested and just in great form when you reach your destination, and it's not just Chicago. Chicago's a hub. You can go anywhere from there by rail, too. So everyone says to Chicago, but to me it's New Orleans or Minneapolis or New York. I think it's just great. It's a wonderful way to travel. I guess my question is, how come we have to wait until 2050? The tracks are already there. And they're going to be in the Quad Cities, so I'd like to see it happen, yesterday.
Okay, John, let's find out if Rebecca Needs knows the answer to your question. Thank you, John.
I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John, in Iowa City.
John, I'm with you. I'd love to see it sooner, but right now there are a couple things. One, you have to do track improvements because our rails right now are for freight, so they're a little bumpy for passenger rail. In addition to that, we need some safety improvements. So you'll see some additional improvements done with intersections and also with trains. We also need to buy some passenger trains, and passenger rail is not, there hasn't been anyone manufacturing trains in Iowa or in the United States for several years, and now we've got some companies back online, so that will speed things up a little bit, but we were a little worried 3 years ago.
Give us an idea of what these cars will look like, or do we know that yet? The amenities that people will have, 290 passengers, the capacity of these trains, what will they be walking through?
Yeah,
sitting in?
They'll look very similar to what you see on Amtrak now. And they do carry about 230 passengers. You will have internet on there, and you'll also have food and beverage. And so you've got really what you need to do business while you're traveling.
Dave Swenson, I want to turn to you because some might say, well, driving around, you can run into plenty of roads that need repair, plenty of bridges that need repair. Ever since the disaster in the Twin Cities, of course, bridges have been a big focus here. From an economist's point of view, you say it's a good idea to invest so much in rail when our roads and bridges are not in the best shape?
Well, we would argue, and many people would argue, that we've overbuilt many of our roads over the years, that our road building system and preoccupation has come as a result of our love affair with the automobile and cheap gasoline. If we're going to be realistic and look to the future, we are going to expect that our fuel costs are going to go up, and that the price of getting from here to there is something that we're going to start thinking more and more about. And it's going to involve a shift, incrementally, but a shift nonetheless, away from personal transportation to more public transportation opportunities, where those opportunities make more sense. And so it's not a one-to-one trade-off, but it's an inevitable and incremental trade-off as we factor in our expectations for the future, which is energy is going to cost a lot.
Okay, Dave Swenson, thank you very much. Rebecca Needs, thank you very much for joining us. Dave Swenson, Iowa State University economist. Rebecca Needs, Vice President and Director of Public Policy with the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you both. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of the passenger rail service newly announced last week to resume between Iowa City and Chicago for the first time since the 1970s. What's your opinion on this? 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org, IPR Talk on Twitter. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Great to have you with us over the noon hour on The Exchange. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, Election Day 2010, we'll get a unique angle on U.S. politics from Max Lindemann. He's the campaign manager for a major German political party, the SPD. have him with us tomorrow. Then we'll examine also in the show new voting machines available at Iowa polling places to assist the disabled, plus a look at the impact of early voting tomorrow, Election Day, at noon here on The Exchange. Today we're talking about the expansion of passenger rail service expected to resume between Iowa City and Chicago for the first time since the 1970s. That by 2015, before Rebecca Needs left our studio from the first half hour, one of our guests, she gave me the exact time and date that the last passenger train arrived in Iowa City Station from Chicago. That was 3:45 in the afternoon, May 31st, 1970. So that would represent a 45-year absence of passenger rail service between the Windy City and Iowa City through the Quad Cities. And this hour, we want you to discuss this with us, exchange your opinion with us. Do you think the new Amtrak line will be good for Iowa's economy, be good for you as an Iowan? 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. And joining us for the initial part of this second half of our show, Laura Wise is president and CEO of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. This is in Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Laura.
Good afternoon.
So tell us, you've had Amtrak in your community in Champaign since the early 1970s, I understand. What role has that service played in your community?
Well, actually, trains in general are a huge part of our community. You know, they have a little saying in our town that's, you know, train, train, I love that train. Without the train, there'd be no Champaign. So that's something they teach the kids in the schools here.
We'll have to think of a rhyme for this this state, some of the communities here. Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But obviously passenger rail is a huge component to our community. It's an amenity, and it's something that I think some people sometimes tend to take for granted. But overall, I think it would be devastating to our community if we ever lost passenger rail.
Has the Amtrak route in Champaign spawned economic development that you can point to?
Well, several years ago, we built an intermodal transportation place. So, you know, we have our station, we've had some development around the station. I don't think it's been as huge as people had anticipated, but we do have one central area now where all transportation comes in, Greyhound, the buses, and rail.
Mm-hmm. One of the facets here connecting Chicago with Iowa City is the connection with the University of Iowa to the Windy City. Mm-hmm. The University of Illinois, of course, in Champaign County. Mm-hmm. How has passenger rail played a role with your university there?
Well, you know, I did some looking around. I was trying to find some numbers to see what kind of student usage the Amtrak gets, and I wasn't able to determine that. But obviously, we have multiple campuses for the University of Illinois. One of those campuses is in Chicago. And so it is a huge benefit to be able to have rail service to and from to connect those campuses.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice that the university there uses that as its pulling power to attract students?
I don't know that the I don't know if that's the main thing that they use, but it definitely is a factor. We actually, the line that we're on actually connects three major universities in the state of Illinois. So it is a huge amenity for college kids. It's a very affordable way to get back and forth from home to school.
Okay, let's go to a caller. Joan in Iowa City, good afternoon. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good afternoon. This is the comment that I would like to make. Riding on the train is my favorite mode of transportation because it goes fast enough and you can see the countryside that you're going through. However, a few years ago I took the Amtrak from Mount Pleasant to Chicago and it was 5 hours late. And a friend took the Amtrak from Mount Pleasant to Denver just last month and it was 6 hours late.
Mm.
So I feel that unless Amtrak improves its service, that this venture will not be successful because people will not ride it if it doesn't come on time.
Okay. Is this a problem, Laura Wise in Champaign County, complaints of Amtrak not delivering the service some people think it should in terms of too many delays?
Well, you know, here Amtrak runs about 85% of the time it's on time. It's always going to be a challenge when passenger rail has to share the track with freight rail. That is almost always typically the cause of a delay. So that's always going to be a concern. I can tell you I am a frequent rider of Amtrak here, and in fact, for a good stretch of time, I was taking the train back and forth to Chicago about every 2 or 3 weeks for about a 14-month period, and the longest that I ever had to wait was an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it will depend on where it originates from. So if you're in Chicago and the train is originating from Chicago, it's less likely that there will be delay issues.
Some delay issues in Iowa's Amtrak, the existing Amtrak in Iowa, according to the Des Moines Register this morning. The California Zephyr, it stops in 5 Iowa cities, was late nearly half the time for the 12 months ending September 30th, according to Amtrak records. The Southwest Chief, which stops in Fort Madison, an on-time performance of about 75%. So we'll get information on that in the future for sure. Here's a comment from Julia from West Branch, a tweet from her. I've taken the train from Mount Pleasant to Chicago, and I'm looking forward to saving 45 minutes and boarding right here in Iowa City. Julia, excited about the 2015 arrival of revisitation of passenger rail line service to Chicago through the Quad Cities. Laura Weiss, any words to leave us with before we move on? What would you say to those in this area in terms of the expectations when 2015 rolls around and we're connected with the Windy City as Champaign County is?
Well, I think what the residents there are going to find, I mean, it's not just an amenity for the students. It's really an amenity for the community. And it really does sort of change the way you think about transportation. And, like I said, it's something in our community that sometimes I think we take for granted, but clearly we would be devastated without having it. And it really does change things for the community. It provides many more options. It's a much more economical way to travel. And I think this is a great thing that Iowa City is getting this service, because as a country, we really should be looking at how we are expanding our rail network across the country and how we're connecting all of our cities.
Laura Weiss, thank you very much. President and CEO of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for
thank
making
you.
Time for us, Laura.
Thank you.
This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the expansion of passenger rail service expected to resume between Iowa City and Chicago for the first time since the 1970s, announced last week by a number of people, most notably Ray LaHood was in Iowa City. By 2015, the federal government's decision to spend $230 million on a new Amtrak line connecting Chicago to the Quad Cities and Iowa City. Taking a look this hour about what this means for travel, the potential for economic development. It's called the Green Line. That's what it will be called. Provide 2 daily round trips carrying trains traveling at speeds up to 79 miles per hour. Each train can accommodate 230 passengers, offering coach seating and food service as well. The projected round-trip cost for an Amtrak ticket from Iowa City to Chicago, $75. Joining us now, Tom Carper, chairman of the Amtrak Board of Directors, former mayor of Macomb, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Tom.
Good afternoon. Happy to be with you today.
Great to have you with us to share a little bit of the vision of the expansion of passenger rail service back into Iowa and the Quad Cities and to Iowa City, and future prospects going to Des Moines, to Omaha. The Obama administration has been pushing an increase in passenger rail service throughout the country. Can you share that vision broadly with our listeners who are not acquainted with it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And it's exciting that the administration has, the way I view it is the administration has certainly brought it to the forefront, and I guess you could characterize it as pushing. I kind of view it as pushing an agenda that's looking to balance the transportation system in the United States and balance our options. The vision is to, the thing, the one thing that everyone is excited about is the high-speed rail, and use the examples of Europe and Asia of the 180, 220 mile an hour, and we're certainly interested in that and certainly don't want to diminish that. Keeping in mind that most of the passengers, even in those countries, are carried by more regional service similar to what was just announced for the Chicago, Quad Cities, Iowa City, Des Moines, and beyond. More traditional speeds varying from the United States from 79 miles an hour to 90 to 110 to 125. We presently run those speeds and 150 on the Northeast Corridor. So the vision is to incrementally build capacity, which this service does, and in concurrent with that, and on a dual track with that, is to also identify some specific high-speed rail opportunities. So we don't focus all the funds on the high-speed rail, and leaving behind the opportunities to improve and to expand the existing service. You know, I think it's the smart way to go. I think it's the responsible way to go. If you started building the more traditional capacity, the opportunities for higher speed, 110, 125, and on, will become very evident, that there'll be the capacity to expand in those areas. Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that there's tremendous benefits for just traditional 79 mile an hour that I know you've been talking about earlier.
Yeah. Will that have enough oomph? Because that's the maximum speed, and when this opens in 2015. Iowa City through the Quad Cities to Chicago. I understand the average speed will be somewhere around 50 miles per hour. Will that be enough of an attraction, a time saver? It won't be a time saver over a car to begin with. Will that be appealing enough to have people get on board, fill up the coaches initially?
Well, I could give you some examples, although. I can give you examples in the service in my hometown. I'm sitting here in Macomb, Illinois now, at 79 mile an hour service, 250 miles from Chicago, and our ridership has been increasing at a pretty rapid rate. Yes, I at 79 with improvements to in on time performance. Making sure there's a good cooperative agreement with the host railroad, and you're blessed to have the Iowa Interstate to be the partner in this. Everyone gets fixated on speed, but the real issue is on-time performance and trip time. So if we do a good job with that, yes, we can be competitive, and we will attract. I'm certain we will attract a ridership.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that anyone should be satisfied with just 79. That could very well go to 90, and I'm not sure about any speeds above that. But yeah, we feel our studies feel that, and both the state of Illinois and the state of Iowa believe that there'll be good ridership connecting those communities with the Chicago metro area.
Amtrak's California Zephyr stops in 5 Iowa cities, according to Amtrak records. Printed in the Des Moines Register today, that Zephyr, California Zephyr, late nearly half the time for the 12 months ending September 30th. What's going on there? Is that what we can expect for this line to Chicago? Late half the time?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Most of the delays coming in, and those I'm not refuting those numbers at all. Come from the west to east service. It's difficult with freight railroad congestion, et cetera, and everything that can happen between California and Iowa.
Yes, but this track, I understand this. We will have to share a freight track to get from Iowa to Chicago as well, right? So those problems are existing on this line.
Well, you will be sharing a freight track even in Iowa on the Iowa Interstate, and we expect that to be an extremely good service. And then you'll be switching over to the Burlington Northern Santa Fe line, the same railroad that covers the on-time performance for the Illinois Zephyr that I am familiar with. Our on-time performance is very good. I don't think you're going to have a problem at all with that, with the on-time performance, and certainly would not parallel it to the California's effort. Two totally different animals there. There's many more opportunities for our long-distance trains to get behind freight, and those delays just start adding up over the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles as it travels. Our corridor service, not only in Illinois, but in Maine and in California on the Capital Corridor, run very well, and on the Northeast Corridor. So, I would not correlate that with the on-time performance of the California Zephyr.
We have a tweet from Anonymous that says, I think this is an amazing decision for the amount of students that attend the University of Iowa from the Chicago area. So a question for you, Tom Carper, in Macomb, Illinois. How have you noticed the train assisting students in Macomb at Western Illinois University?
Well, let me, and I know you're pressed for time, but we had one round trip a day for 3 decades. And when we went to 2 round trips a day, which we will have, we noticed our ridership just growing like crazy. And here, the connections for students in the Chicago metro area are tremendous. The Friday night before spring break, and as anyone in a university town understands the ebb and flow of students coming and going. In Macomb, Illinois, we boarded 450 passengers on Friday night. And the trains were sold out the couple days leading up to, and a couple days from that. But on that, behind that, but on that Friday evening, 450 passengers. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the university. I was surprised on the last time that I was on this show with you to find out that the demographics of the University of Iowa are pretty similar to the demographics at Western Illinois University and Illinois colleges. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity. Certainly it will be for the Quad Cities with a new presence for Western Illinois University there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as this gets going, this helps the University of Iowa, it helps Western Illinois University. It will make even those populations stronger and make them more competitive in a world marketplace. International travelers and students are used to using rail, are used to flying into airports and being able to have a reasonably good rail connection. And this puts us in that ballgame. I think it's an exciting opportunity.
We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Tom Carper, chairman of the Amtrak Board of Directors, former mayor of Macomb, Illinois. And you touched on that point, so let's go there. Many other countries thrive on passenger rail. Europe, mm-hmm. Japan, anybody
right.
who's traveled there or lived there. I lived in Europe for over a decade and rode on passenger rail many, many times. So why has it not taken hold in the United States in our history?
It has not been a national priority. Amtrak was created in 1971, and if you'll read, go back and research, there are some that think that it was created with a model to fail, not thinking that it would hold on. If the freights did not want to continue in passenger rail, it does not make money overall, does not make money. So Amtrak has been starved for capital resources. It has been starved for operating resources, and yet, over all those years, we've survived. And I can tell you firsthand from grassroots efforts in Illinois that the citizens of Illinois and Iowa and other states have been ahead of the political leaders wanting a balanced transportation system. And in there is a good passenger rail system. We don't have it because it hasn't been a national priority. Europe has it because they never gave up on rail.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll look back on this, Tom Carper, we look back on the 1950s, President Eisenhower ushering in a new era with the interstate system, that type of investment, that type of turning the corner?
I think we will, and with good planning and reasonable expenditures and good support This is something we can do, we should do, I think we can afford to do, and it will pay back over a long time. These investments don't go away. These capital investments just don't poof, disappear. They stay with you. Good investments in rail are not only good for passenger but freight rail.
Okay.
Very important to the economy.
This is a few words perhaps in closing from Renee, who went to the Iowa Public Radio Facebook page. Yes, we will ride the train. We are very excited. A family of four, including a budding rail fan. We think this plan is great for the environment, great for Iowa and for Chicago. We plan to enjoy the freedom of traveling there for weekends to museums, festivals, and route to other places. Traveling by Amtrak with young children is a wonderful experience. 30 seconds left, Tom Carper. Anything left out of that vision for the next 10 years, the increase of passenger rail in the Midwest?
Well, I've seen it around the country. I've seen examples in Illinois. I'm watching this develop here. I've seen it in Maine. And I can tell you that to realize the full benefit, it just isn't a build it and it will automatically come. Engagement on a local and state level is important. Taking advantage of the passenger you have coming through your communities. I'm a local government person. I got a lot of confidence in the state and local governments to maximize this investment. So I think it's an exciting time.
Tom Carper, thank you so much. Chairman of the Amtrak Board of Directors, former mayor of Macomb, Illinois. Thanks for joining us, sir.
I appreciate the offer. Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available at our website, iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.